From the Mundy's Landing Tribune Archives. Opinion. September 10th, 2015. Protect our precious children. To the editor. When my husband and I relocated to the Hudson Valley after having been born and raised in Manhattan, we were looking for a safe, old-fashioned, small town where we could provide our treasured daughter with the wonderful childhood she deserves. We thought we had found it in Mundy's Landing. Imagine our dismay when our Amanda came home from her first day of school yesterday and informed us that her fourth grade class would be making an educational field trip in December to the Historical Society. Aware that the society houses macabre relics connected to the infamous murders of 1916, I was outraged and immediately called her teacher to protest. Ms. Mundy seemed unperturbed and informed me that this year's social studies curriculum encompasses New York State history, which to her way of thinking entails taking advantage of the fact that some of the most colorful chapters unfolded here in the Hudson Valley. She added that the trip is a long-standing tradition. Just because something has always been done doesn't make it right. I invite fellow parents of our village to join me in taking a stand to protest this inappropriate local rite of passage. Aren't our children entitled to an anxiety-free school experience without exposure to a disturbing tragedy under the guise of education? Barry Hicks, Mundy Estates. Chapter 1. November 30th, 2015. Mundy's Landing, New York. 6 minutes. That's exactly how long it takes to drive between the elementary school where Rowan Mundy teaches and the Riverside home where she lives with her family. The route meanders along the brick-paved streets of The Heights, a sloping residential neighborhood. Its landmarks include her childhood home, the little white clapboard church where she was baptized and married, and Holy Angels Cemetery, where her parents and father-in-law are buried alongside generations of local citizens. Among them, the trio of unidentified young girls, whose murders during the village's sestercentennial celebration a century ago sealed Mundy's Landing's notoriety. Most days, she drives on past all of those sights without taking note, her mind on whatever happened during the past few hours, or on whatever needs to get done in the next few. Once in a while, though, she allows herself to get caught up in nostalgia for long-gone loved ones and places that will never be the same. Today is one of those days. Christmas music plays on the car stereo, and the business district is decked out in wreaths and garlands that seem to have materialized overnight. She wistfully remembers cozy holidays when her parents were alive and her brothers and sister weren't scattered from East Coast to West. Now her two oldest children are gone as well. Brayden is a junior at Dartmouth, Katie a freshman at Cornell. Both were here for the long Thanksgiving weekend that just passed, but it was all too fleeting. They headed back yesterday in opposite directions. "I hate this letting go thing," she told Jake, wiping tears as they stood on the front porch, watching taillights disappear.
"They'll be home on break for a whole month before you know it, and you'll be counting down the days until they go back to school in January."
"No, I won't."
"Oh, right. I'm the one who does that."
Jake flashed his good-natured grin and went back to eating a leftover turkey drumstick and watching the Giants win in overtime. Passing the Mundy's Landing Historical Society, which occupies a grand turreted mansion facing the village common, Rowan is reminded of an unpleasant phone call she received this morning from the mother of one of her fourth-grade students. Barry Hicks moved to town from New York City over the summer and has proven to be one of those people who always manages to find something to complain about.
This week, she was calling to once again express her displeasure with the upcoming class field trip to see the Colonial Christmas exhibit.